I like the double welcome. That's good. Good morning. Good morning. I'm Darren Pouts. If I have not met you, I'm the pastoral resident here at Pillar Jacks. As we think about this sermon today or this service today, like in Christ alone, our cornerstone, is that where we are right now in our lives? Are we putting him as our cornerstone? Are we kind of doing something different? So as we prepare this morning, if you want to start searching through your Bibles, if you don't have one, there should be one like underneath the seat front in front of you-ish. Please use that. That's for you guys to keep. We're going to be looking at 2 Samuel chapter 7 today. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And as we read this, let's think about how is Christ alone being the cornerstone. How does this, right, if all the scripture then points to Christ, how is this pointing to him? So as I read it, please follow along, and then we'll get down to work. So 2 Samuel chapter 7, and I'm going to read all of it here all at once here. So now when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent." And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that it is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd of my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of great ones on the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, so that they may dwell in their own places and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more, as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits an iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." In accordance with all these words and in accordance with all the vision, Nathan spoke to David. Then verse 18. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? And yet this was a small thing in your eyes, O Lord God. You have spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come, and this instruction for mankind, O Lord God. What more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Lord God. Because of your promise and according to your own heart, you have brought about all this greatness to make your servant know it. Therefore, you are great, O Lord God. For there is none like you, and there is no God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth whom God went to redeem to be his people, making himself a name and doing for them great and awesome things by driving out before your people, whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt, a nation and its gods. And you established for yourself your people Israel to be your people forever. And you, O Lord, became their God. And now, O Lord God, confirm forever the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, and do as you have spoken. And your name will be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is God over Israel, and the house of your servant David will be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have made this revelation to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore, your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. Now, therefore, may it please you to bless this house of your servant, so that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing shall the house of your servant be blessed forever. Let's pray for the sermon this morning. O Lord God, Lord, you are so good to us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for giving us this word. The word, Lord, that we can read and just see your truth in it, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that your truth will just be revealed to us this morning. And Lord, that it will stir us up in such a way, Lord, that it'll just know you more. To be able to live in light of that, that we come to know you and rest in who you are. Lord, as our cornerstone, because it's all to you we owe, Lord. In your holy, precious name, amen. Proverbs 16:9 says, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. The heart of man plans his way. We see David's heart here being poured out. He has this plan that he would like to do. He would like to have this big idea, like, I'm going to do something great for the Lord. A lot of times we have these type of plans too, right? It's like, I am going to go do this. Like, this is exactly where the Lord is going to lead me. I know for sure that I'm supposed to do this. Like, yes, this is it. We can do it. Right? It's not even probably for selfish gain. It's like you're not even thinking of it for yourself, but it's something that's just not what it's going to be. It doesn't end up like that. Because maybe it was a job, maybe it was this, maybe it was the location. Like, yes, we're going to go here, but then no, you're not. Like, what is our response typically in that? Do we rest and go back to God's truths and say, like, okay, he established the kingdom forever, like we see. Are we going to rehearse that? Or are we just going to be like, oh, no, woe is me. I'm just going to woe and be all sorrowful. So this sermon series that we have titled for 1 and 2 Samuel, Trust God in every circumstance, trust God's anointed king and walk in his grace. So trust God in every circumstance. In every circumstance, trust God's anointed king and walk in his grace. Do we see that in David today? Do we see that? Right? This whole picture, that's what we see, that he's continually trusting God in every circumstance. Now, as we've been going through 1 and 2 Samuel, David now has been the main character for, I think, 6 to 7 sermons. And he's gone through a lot. Starting back in 1 Samuel, I believe, 16, right? He's anointed, and then he serves Saul, and then he kills Goliath. People are praising him and recognizing him, becomes deep friends with Jonathan. And then Saul starts chasing him. Saul gets a little jealous, hides in caves. There's a lot of things going on. But now here in this passage, as we saw a few chapters ago, that David is now king. King over Israel, king over Judah. Right? He is in a good spot. He just got the Ark of the Covenant back. A lot of the battles have been winning. He is in a good spot. He's in a good spot. So, my overall main idea, that's the title that I did for this sermon, is Rest in the Fulfillment of God's Promises. Rest in the Fulfillment of God's Promises. That's what I, overall, this title. But my overall main idea is rest in the fulfillment of God's covenant with David, promising an everlasting kingdom that will reign forever. An everlasting kingdom that will reign forever. He is our cornerstone. I just love that song. So if I say cornerstone, I don't have it in my notes. We'll just say it. I say it, and then I kind of broke it up into three parts here, where God gave rest, God revealed his promise, and recognize God's glory. That's how I broke it up in three main parts here. And I love how this beginning part starts here, this narrative, because we think of the narrative as right, we start as a plot line. Right? Here in this story, we're down here at the bottom before we get to the tension. Before all of this, David is at rest. The Lord gave rest. Because before this, David had all those hardships that we just described, and the struggle was real. So I love starting at like the most basic, where there's like absolutely like nothing going on. He's supposed to be resting. Because when you think of rest, you think of like, then there's like peace in the land, a sense of calmness, sense of stillness, just rest. And I think if anyone deserves rest, I think it is David. Like after all he's gone through and how he continued to obey the Lord, he gave rest. But this plot line here, this story that we're looking at, quickly changes. It went from rest to like, let's do something. So was David really at rest? Right, because David, remember, was a man after God's own heart. And I could just imagine David sitting there thinking in his beautiful house that they made, probably on a nice throne. Smells probably really good because it's fresh cut wood. This new house smell. But David wanted to do something special for the Lord. Because the Lord has protected him throughout all of the different struggles and all the different things that he has been through. God has always been faithful to him. So he desired to build a house for the ark of the God. Because the ark of God was in a tent. Now, if you go look back, we could look back in Exodus. We don't need to go through there. But the house that the ark was in was very specific. It had different things. Probably, but the house the tent that they currently had it in, probably wasn't the exact type thing. For all the different transitions and everything like that with the ark, it probably exactly wasn't how it was supposed to be during that time. But God is very specific in the tent. And I think that God would have been very specific in the house that he wanted for the ark, for his place. Now, I know you Marines are like hardcore and like to rough it. Right? So like, and typically guys, you guys don't like to rough it in tents. You'd rather just dig a hole and sleep in the hole. But it probably wasn't that original type of thing. You know, and I'm Air Force, so I like to stay in the 5-star hotels and get the continental breakfast. So like a tent, but nonetheless, tents are temporary. They're not supposed to be last forever. It's only supposed to be a temporary location. And they're not as sturdy as a home. They don't last forever because you think of a home, they're supposed to last. They're going to be there for a long period of time. So maybe David is thinking like, big picture, I want this to be here. I want to build some roots. But that's not what the Lord intended. David never really went to the Lord. If you look previously, I think in chapter 5, he inquired of the Lord several times before going into battle. He never did it here. He wanted to do something permanent for the Lord. So I think overall, like his intentions, I think were good. But he didn't rest as he was supposed to. Then David, he wanted to get some counsel. It's like, you get affirmation of like, yes, this is what you should do. So what does he do? He goes to Nathan. Nathan's like, yeah, that's a great idea. Why wouldn't we do this? He wants to continue just to glorify God, right? He knows David's heart. Because what does he say then? Like, and Nathan said to the king, go do all that it is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. Because the Lord has been with him. He has been faithful for all of this. He was so filled with gratitude, he wanted to do something special for God. But guys, do we rest well? Like, what do we do when we rest typically? Do we like say like, oh, I need some me time? Do we veg out, go do some sluggish type thing, just kind of lay around? Something that's very against like doing productive type of things, the selfish things. Or are we the type of person who's like, I don't need rest, I need to go. I need to fill my time because if I don't do this task, then it's never going to get done. Right? Like, it can even be for good things, for things in the church. Like, I need to do this. I need to continue to work, to work, to work, but not rest in what the Lord has done. Like, they can be good things. But when God gives us rest and let's focus in on Him. Because I know even pastors or leaders may have this massive vision of what they're supposed to do. If we just do this next thing, then the community, then the local area, then the world will know Him. Like, we're building it on our shoulders versus building it on His. It's on His shoulders that it needs to be built on. But what if God did give you a season of rest? What do you do with it? Are we actually to being still? Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." What if we just be still in our rest and just focus on God's, just His greatness, Him being the cornerstone, His mercy, His grace? What if we just sit and be still and just contemplate those things? How He has worked in your life. And let's just be faithful for where we are at. Be faithful in what God is doing. And let's build it on His shoulders and not our own. Because He is the one, guys, that is building His church. And He will see it through until completion. We've seen throughout, I guess up to this point in the Bible, there's been different promises made. Right? They could rest in that, knowing that God is continually being faithful, knowing that He is currently always with His people and going to provide for them, redeem them out of their brokenness. Rest in the promises of God. Now, as we kind of look at the next part here, God promises are revealed. If you think of like just Samuel in general, this is a big pivot point in this text. Many people think like this is like the climax of Samuel. Like, this was all building up to this point there at the end of verse 16 and 17 there. Because as we continue to think through, like, this plot starts to get very interesting. David wants to build a house. What is God going to do? That's the big question. Right, and there's two things I think that are being revealed. There's two different things, and I kind of broke it up with when it says, like, "Thus says the Lord." There's two different parts of that. And the first one is verses 5 through 7. I'm just going to reread that quick so then it's fresh in our minds. "So go and tell my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people of Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar?'" What are you going to do, God? God did not want David or Nathan to get to work. God's just like, "I didn't tell you to build me a house. I never told people before you I needed to build a house. I could have done that myself. I could have done that during some specific times, during these times when I was leading the judges, during the time when I was building up other people." The tent was purposeful for what it was called to do, in order for them to be built through the wilderness, because they're obviously being transient. Because, right, at first he's explaining how he cared for his people, being with them, commanded by their leaders. God is also here, guys, reminding and establishing his authority over David and his people. He's reminding and establishing his authority over David and his people. Right? And he is very lovingly shutting David down, putting almost David like in his place. And I think, guys, like, we need to consider that as well. Like, when something happens to us, where it's like, yes, we had this big grandiose plan that we want to do, but then all of a sudden, like, doors shut. Right? I believe that is a blessing when God cuts off those plans quickly. What we see crushed the dreams. Our God's ways of preserving us for something better. God is gracious when he changes our plans. Right? And there's also, of course, no way for us to even pretend to know that all the ways of the Lord. Like we don't, a lot of times we don't understand the things that are going to be happening. But we clearly see that here that God steps quickly to stop the action. And I think that is from a loving, gracious God. Proverbs 16:9 again. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Tracy says this verse a lot. She put it on my retirement cake about a year ago. Right? Like we might have had these grandiose plans when we came here, but then life and the Lord definitely rocked our world a lot through a lot of different things. The Lord establishes his steps. The Lord is establishing David's steps. Because God's greatness and glory are not dependent on David's dreams. The Lord will do it. Then the second response here. He gets very personal with David, reminding him that he took him as a shepherd boy when God reached down and anointed him king. God took him. God initiated it. He has been with David throughout all of those trials. And the bottom line is, God, here is that God is the one that is building, not you. God is the one that does the building. The Lord is establishing David's steps over David's heart. God's glory is not dependent upon your dreams. The point is God, and we are not. And he is not. David is not. He is the initiator. He is the sovereign Lord. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our cornerstone, who built up and he also brings down. Romans 11, 33 through 36 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsuitable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." Oh, the depths and riches. We are never, ever fully going to comprehend that here on this earth. But God here is revealing something. God here is revealing something to David. It's his plan of redemption. Because it's going to be something even better that David could even think of building. His plan of redemption. Because we look at why David here is so important. Because it clearly points out, because it's a direct line to Jesus. At the time, like you got to think, like the people were waiting for a rescuing king. They were promised a rescuing king early on in Genesis chapter 3. God's people have been waiting, this continual waiting. Who is it going to be? What is going to happen? There's this continual pursuit. And David and Nathan, they were just dreaming too small. They dreamed too little. Sometimes I think it is just better just to latch on to just great theological truth of the bigness of God and the freedom of God and let's just unleash that in our lives. Just focus on God's bigness and what he is able to do. Because God will glorify himself through something more eternal than this brick or mortar. This building that they want to build. The Lord turns the table on David. Building permits always bring sort of surprise. Some amendment to the original plans. But in 2 Samuel 7:10, God says, "I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them." Then God tells Nathan and tells David. Also the Lord tells them that he will make you a house. David doesn't know anything about building plans. God does. I don't need you to build me a house. I will do it myself, and I'm going to be established in the kingdom. I will be doing this, God says. We can trust in that. We can rest knowing that he is faithful and just, and he will stick to his promises. Because the protection and identity for God's people are not found in this building. They never have been. They're found in Jesus Christ. That's where our hope is found. Everything else is honestly like really just idolatry. And the message of the early church, the God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. He is the source of all things, the redeemer of all things. That is who we pursue. That is who we seek our identity in. And not this building that they want to instruct, but in who God is and what he has done. Because what God is doing here, he's renewing the covenant made with Israel. Because God made a covenant with Adam and Eve that they were come, that they would come a redeemer. Then God made a covenant with Abraham. Then God renewed a covenant with Moses. And God here renews the covenant with David. The covenant promise is that God is going to establish an eternal kingdom. How often do we think eternally? Or how often do we just think of like the next day? Or just the current times that we're in? The eternal kingdom. So I just think everything that we've gone through this past year has been, there's been a lot of sadness. But I think it has changed at least my perspective on just our kingdom mindset. With people passing away that are close to you, I think we start thinking things differently a lot of times. We start thinking of what is life truly about? What are we truly pursuing? Where is the kingdom mindset? And I think the more I read, the more I understand, we need to have an eternal kingdom mindset always. In every day that we have, every day that the Lord gives us breath. Because the promise has been fulfilled. The promise here that is being stated here is that his kingdom is established. Christ is king. Christ is ruling. He is on his throne and he is going to reign eternally. Jesus paid it all and it's all to him we owe. The law that we read that is there recognizes the brokenness. Recognize that we are all sinners, that we need something for redemption. And it's not the good works that we are ever going to be able to do. It's only through Jesus Christ. That is it. There has to be a penalty. And he did it. This is the covenant that God gave David. David was going to build a house, but he leaves with a promise of a Savior. David went to king with a God for a house. God gives him a vision for an eternal kingdom. Rest in this fulfillment. Rest in the fulfillment that God's covenant with David has been fulfilled, promising an everlasting kingdom that will reign forever. Now, as we recognize, as David hears this from what Nathan just said about God, who God is, what he is planning on doing, the promising that he is going to make through him for his kingdom forever, there seems to be a change in response. He responds, I think, in a few different ways here when we look at verses 18 through, I think, 29. And I think I pulled out three different ways, but I know the more I read this, you could pull out several other different truths here as well. But I think the first one that I see, how David responds, and there's no particular order here, with humility. Humility. David responds with humility. There seems to be a change. I think at the beginning of chapter 7, it feels like there's a lot of excitement. I want to build the Lord a house. I'm going to do this for the Lord. I'm going to build him a house. Nathan, do you agree too? Wouldn't that be an exciting thing to talk about, discuss, big plan, future plans? I think David quickly becomes humbled. Sitting before the Lord. All right, Lord. Almost sheepishly, Lord, you are in charge. It's your promises that are going to be fulfilled. You have always been the faithful one, not me. Then he follows up with this question, who am I? In the middle of 18 there. Who am I? Because David, right, he was the anointed king. He slayed and conquered many people. He was a warrior, a leader. He was a fantastic musician, was praised by the people. Right, had several opportunities just to increase his name over his own. But here, I believe David really recognizes that his place in relation to God. God is God and David is not. I'm going to read verse 21 again. Because of your promise and according to your own heart, you have brought about all this greatness to make your servant known. Know it. You really wanted just to honor God in his words, to recognize God's greatness, that his name is above all other names. All other names, and reflecting on what the Lord has done. I know in my version it says, I think, O Lord God, like just recognizing God's authority. I believe like seven different times throughout this past, or throughout those 11 verses. O Lord God, always going to him. God revealed the promise of redemption for God's people. Humbly follow him. Respond with humility. Recognize, like I think we need to recognize that in our lives as well. Responding with humility. Recognize who God is compared to who we are. How we should then live in light of that then too. Now the second thing that I kind of thought about here. David prayed. This whole second half here is a prayer. Praying by recognizing God's greatness. Praying to him. And it doesn't focus on man or things that he wants to accomplish or anything like that. Praying was like, well, Lord, please reconsider. Let us build this house for you. It'd be really great. But no, it's honestly just rehearsing what the promise that was just told to him. Because if you look back, it talks about redeeming people from Egypt. It's in the first part. And guess what? He prays about it in the second part. Then it talks about establishing his people, Israel. That's what the Lord told Nathan. That's what David's praying about too. And then he prays about the concerning the promise that God made about David's house. This continual thing, like he's just rehearsing what God has already told him. There's this book called Praying the Bible by Don Whitney. If you want a copy, I think we have some downstairs actually. Or let me know, I think we have some copies at home too. Like we'll gladly pass it out. But I kind of talk about like this basic thing of prayer. All right. It talks to you like the reason why. Like we always like to know the reason why. Talked about like how to pray. And then like an example of like how to do it. But then obviously like encourage you to pray. And then one of the chapters it ends with like, all right, now go pray. And how they broke up the prayer is throughout the month, there's 150 chapters in the book of Psalms. It encourages you to read, if it's like today's the 20th, so today you'd read Psalm 20, Psalm 150, goes like every, I'll do public math, 180, 110, all right, and then 140. All right, so it kind of goes in that type of order. It encourages you to read through one of those chapters, and pray through those verses. So at the end of this chapter, it says, now go do it. What do people typically do? We'd probably just, okay, let's go on to the next chapter. That's what I did. Do you know what the next chapter says? Go back and read and then pray. And just read over and pray for the 5 minutes of whatever psalm that you're in. Because like a lot of times, like, oh, let's just kind of get through these books. Let's just power through. But let's pray. Pray in all circumstances. Pray at all times. Right? Because in every circumstance, trust God's anointing king. In every circumstance, trust him. So if you like a book, please let me know. Definitely encourage you to pray. Then the third thing is rest. David didn't end up building a home or building a house. It started with rest, and God was going to make sure that he was going to rest. Right, because he wanted to build a house, and that really, honestly, building a house, that seems like a lot of work. I'm sure David wasn't going to pound every nail in there or construct it, but he definitely had to do some planning and organization in order to build it, and definitely would keep his people busy and moving. But these things quickly changed, and David didn't build anything. God is the one doing the heavy lifting. When we rehearse truth like this, when we truly slow down and recognize God's goodness, we can rest in what the Lord has done. Guys, we can rest that the work has been done, that he is king, and he is reigning and will reign forever. Now, I'm not sure where everyone is at spiritually. I'm not sure if you came here today lost, seeking, searching. Recognize that there is a God. Recognize that there has been promises made. And recognize that he has kept those promises. And he has sent the King of Kings, the Jesus that we continually sing about and pray to and for our hearts to work in relation to him, that we make his name known, that he is God and you are not. So whatever struggle or way you're seeking, it's him. It all points to him and what he has done on the cross. Because it's the redemption that we need, so desperately need, that we cannot fulfill ourselves. But also, guys, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are saved. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are fully kept, fully redeemed, fully restored. And your relationship with him is eternal, everlasting, forever and ever. We can rest in that. So those three things. Humility. Let's humbly submit to the Father. Let's humbly submit to his work. Let's pray. Let's pray through the Spirit at all times and all circumstances. Guys, and then we can rest. Rest knowing that God has fulfilled all the promises that he has ever said, and we can walk in the faith every day. So the next song we're going to sing is going to be, Great is Thy Faithfulness. God has always been faithful, even under our circumstances, even though a lot of times we fail, but he is always faithful. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. And Lord, a lot of times we make our own plans, have these big dreams. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you direct our steps. And Lord, give us rest. Rest knowing, Lord, that you are good. That your mercy endures forever, Lord. That you have built a kingdom that is everlasting. And help us see that kingdom, Lord, every day and live in light of that. Where we don't try to build up ourselves, but we rely on you, Lord, to build up your kingdom. And Lord, as we continue on to this worship service, Lord, help us focus, Lord, on your faithfulness, Lord. Help us rehearse those gospel truths, Lord, of who you are, Lord, and what you have done in relation to that. We love you, Lord Jesus, in your holy, precious name. Amen.